This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Noelle Lim. AIMS Data Centre, a core business of Time.com, which contributes about 13% of the group's revenue, is riding on the wave of exponential data consumption and 5G rollouts. AIMS, which operates data centres or virtual facilities to store and process data, is one of the leaders in Malaysia and is building a presence in Vietnam and Thailand. It's an exciting market for AIMS as Asia is expected to take over Europe as the largest data centre market in the world by 2021. Increasingly, more tech giants are pouring money into the region. We speak with Chew Kok Hin, the CEO of AIMS, to find out how he's capturing these opportunities. Thank you for joining us. AIMS is expected to be reporting revenue of about 120 million ringgit this year and has been growing about 20 to 30% in the past 5 years. To give us a sense of your level of ambition, how soon could AIMS double its business?
Our ambition is to do regional, and we see a lot of potential in the market like Thailand and Vietnam, and thus our presence is all there. I'm giving myself at a time frame of probably about 3 years to double that revenue. I think the growth area is still Malaysia. Thailand and Vietnam is still at the infancy, but I think we'll be preparing ourselves, just like how we prepared ourselves in Malaysia, to be ready. And once the wave comes, you know, you are ready to take on the wave.
Malaysia, what would be your strategy?
Number one is space. We need a lot more space to cater for the growing demands. And number two, the space will come with power as well. But I think one thing we learned throughout our business the last 20 years, our business is building ecosystem. And ecosystem is a collective of communities. That will be the strategy continuing to build more communities, because as the digitization evolves, you have different communities. We used to have people like doing voice over IP, and then we have the internet service provider. Now we have the content providers and then the gamers coming on.
In terms of space, land is getting expensive in Malaysia. So what would be that strategy there? For example, would you work with a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust?
We don't really work with them because one of our key criteria is we want to own the property. Because that would give a sense of security to our customers. So a lot of our customers host critical data into our facility, and they would prefer we own our own. The property or the real estate element of the entire data center investment is not as big as what we thought. Yeah.
Well, just looking at your balance sheet, I think your long-term liability is about 16 million ringgit at the end of last year. So, and that's about 23% of total equity. What is your capacity to borrow more, or how much more are you willing to borrow?
I think one thing, data center is a very capital-intensive business. And I think as long as we can able to illustrate that, you know, we are able to rent out our space or bring customers in, I think the banks or the funders will be more than happy to borrow us a lot more money.
So you think you could go up to 30%, 40%?
I think we can do that. That's number one. Number two, I think AIMS is also a part of Time.com company, you know, and if you look at Time.com gearings, we are very healthy, you know, and therefore fund can come from, you know, our parent company as well.
So in terms of Malaysia, I mean, I don't think they'll be just relying on domestic clients. I think they're looking at bringing in more international clients. But, you know, Malaysia, for some reason or another, is considered tier two country for data centres. And it's not like data centres, it's not a new business in Malaysia. Why is that the case? I'm just trying to figure out how Malaysia can help you in your business.
What we have to understand is Singapore liberalised their telecommunication business first. And as such, a lot of capacity and in terms of submarine cable lands in Singapore. And that naturally makes Singapore become the hub. And Malaysia realized that a little bit, perhaps too late, you know, and tried to do that. But I must say that over the last couple of years, we have then closed the gap between us and Singapore. Having said that, you know, there's a lot of investment of data center has already been made in Singapore. And therefore, you know, we are in a way in a catch-up, you know, game. But we believe that, you know, giving Singapore demographic or geographical, they are not that big in terms of space, you know, and power and, you know, human skills and all that. I think at some point, we should be able to then coexist with Singapore. You know, in fact, you know, there's some overspills from Singapore that will come to Malaysia. And we are seeing that already.
And would you then reconsider going back into Johor, setting up a data center there, or it will still be done out of KL?
I think for now, the demand in Johor is not as great as what we think it would. Simply because I think in Johor, going to Singapore is just a 20-minute drive. And to them, there's really no significant difference. But one thing very important is a lot of connectivity that the data center needs is in KL or in the Klang Valley. And therefore, having something in Johor will means you have to come back to KL anyway. So, you know, that doesn't make really sense.
Your industry has been lobbying for lower utility charges. And what has been Correct. The outcome of the discussions with the government?
I think it is, I would say it is like a 3-step forward, 2-step backwards. We have been trying to lobby to make the government understand that, you know, if really it is the government intention of making data center as a very strategic business or industry in Malaysia, you know, because utility form 40% of our costs, is something that we have to really look into. One of the main issues is perhaps, in my opinion, we are in a situation where there's no many choices that we can have. Number one is we only have one utility provider. And then a lot of the IPPs that we have, the pricing has already been locked for many, many years. And for them to unchange that is a challenge. You know, that is number one. And I think that is the most critical. Second thing is, I think they perhaps did not see the contribution overall that the data center could make. They probably see it in a very specific or very silo, saying that, you know, data center industry is not that big. But they didn't know that data center contributes to healthcare, to education, to, you know, the future, the analytics, you know, big data and so on. But if you combine the whole, then they will appreciate the data center.
So if they were to lower utility charges to what manufacturers pay, is that good enough to ramp up our status as a tier one market?
I think that will be a good start. Competitiveness of us against Singapore is just not just about power. It's also about connectivity, access. But definitely that will be a significant move if they were to do that, because we pay quite a lot. You know, in fact, any data center pay quite a lot in terms of consuming power, and that will reduce their costs tremendously. And that would be a carrot to them to bring their data center into Malaysia.
How fast could you grow if, say, utility charges were now like half your cost?
I think we would probably see an exponential growth in that.
Digital players, the global tech giants are coming to the market. Amazon Web Services, for example, they use your facility. But if a matter of time when data reaches a very critical level, they might just come in and set up a data center and they could kill your business.
I think it is yes and no. Because these giants will at some point build their own hyperscale data centers, they still will have an option for us to build for them. That is one option. Even if we don't build for them, I think there are certain key components that these giants would have. Because, as you know, AIMS is also a reference site for the Malaysia Internet Exchange. And this is absolutely very critical piece of the puzzle to all the giants. In fact, before they can even have their hyperscale data center, they would have their edge set up first. You know, and usually the edge will set up in a data center that is full of connectivity, and AIMS is one of them. MyX, it is a fabric that connects everyone together. Amazon would want to build their own data center in Malaysia. They will still have to connect to IX. You know, and for them to connect into the IX, they have to somehow be present in that data center itself.
But they could also build their own IX?
They can't, because IX is a community-based internet exchange where everyone is connected. So even if they build their own, and many have tried to build their own, but, you know, an IX is easy to build, but for you to get enough traffic to make it a reasonable or, you know, at least a reputable IX is another story.
Amazon has that brand name, and I can imagine the government is going to roll out the red carpet because they will need some big names to show that they have done something before the elections, right? So, and they might throw in a lot of tax incentives, and who knows, they might even just lower their utility charges. And I'm just thinking then, so you have the IX, but is there more to it that you can position yourself against Amazon?
You know, the difference between us and these hyperscale people is they set up their data center primarily for their own use. Okay, and for us, we are a multi-tenanted data center. So while, you know, they can have their own data center, A corporation, for example, you know, airlines would not go and host with them. They will still host with us unless they're using their cloud.
Airline companies, Air Asia or Malaysia Airlines, they go into cloud computing and then they might even adopt the SaaS model. Then that would all feed into Amazon's business?
There are companies who are embarking on a cloud strategy and therefore some of them will go there. There's still a lot of businesses, they have used hybrid because they still have concern in terms of security of the cloud and so on. You know, even as big as the giants, we do hear that their network go down, you know, data center go down and so on. And some of them are still reluctant to go there. We continue to see that, you know, I think there's always a business for us.
And how would you then grow your cloud business?
AIMS itself do not have a cloud business, but Time, you know, our parent company has a cloud business. And we see that as an opportunity for those people who wants to go into cloud, but still need hand health, still need tender loving care. And that is where our position is.
Right. So maybe you have 5 years until Malaysian companies get their act together. Then I'm just wondering what's next. Your career, you have another 20-year run, right? So I'm just wondering like what might be, you know,
I could
10
retire
years.
Soon.
Yeah, I'm sure you could with your stock options and all that. But, but in 10 years' time, surely there must be some business plan, some idea. In a digital world, the winner takes all. So what is it left for companies like Time.com or AIMS?
I think if you look at the evolution of our data center, different era will have a different type of community that came out. When we first started, we have a group of people who runs voice over IP, you know, and then we thought, oh, that is the end of the voice, you know. But then you have, once the voice over IP consolidated, you know, and some of them went Chapter 11 and so on, we thought that was the end. But then again, there was the internet service provider that came into place, you know, and when internet service provider, they kind of consolidate, you know, everyone thought it's the end, but then the content provider comes into place. So I think in the era of internet, there's so many things that is coming in. So cloud is not the end. For now, some of them may embark into cloud and because, you know, their businesses can run on cloud. But there are certain things like, you know, for example, AR, augmented reality or virtual reality. When it becomes so important to a person, then they may not want to be run on a public cloud because then the data is exposed to everyone. And especially now, data protection or data integrity is so important. So there's always a room for a data center like us to be around. And really, our plan is not just KL or Malaysia. You know, while we evolve with the industry, there's also a new market that we adapt to, that we're going into.
Today on The Breakfast Grill, we're speaking with Chew Kok Hin, the CEO of AIMS Data Center. We'll be discussing new markets, including Indonesia and potential mergers. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On The Breakfast Grill this morning, we speak with Chew Kok Hin, the CEO of AIMS Data Center, a subsidiary of Time.com. AIMS is invested in Vietnam and Thailand. They are Tier 3 markets for data center operations. What's your business case for investing in those markets?
When we hear Tier 3, Tier 2, that is where we get excited because Malaysia was once there. And the experience that we have, although may not necessarily be the same, but there are certain patterns to it. As the content needs to be closer to the eyeballs, there will be a point of time where the customers or the content will be at their doorstep. And we are just getting ready to make sure that we have the facility, the connectivity, and the infrastructure for these people to then come to us when they are ready. And we are seeing that coming real soon.
So I understand that you're also in those two markets because Time.com has assets there. Is that the strategy for AIMS, to go where Time.com is, or it may eventually also break out and to have data centers elsewhere?
It can have both possibilities, but I think the synergistic relationship that we have is also one of the motivation factor for us to be there. Data center relies a lot in terms of connectivity, and Time.com is one of the connectivity provider.
So otherwise, you will have to find some friendly telco partners who will work with you?
Correct. And AIMS is actually a carrier-neutral data center. What I mean by carrier-neutral is we work with anyone, including Time. So if TM is there, or if Maxis is there, or even in Thailand, you know, you have the local provider, the CAT, TOT, we work with everyone.
Are your clients in Vietnam and Thailand mainly domestic clients or international clients who want to get into Vietnam and Thailand?
The starting point has always been local companies. But as you get a little bit of momentum, that is where you see some international, multinational companies coming in.
So for now, it's mainly domestic companies?
Now, you probably, I can say in terms of ratio, you're probably 80% local, 20% foreign.
How committed is the government in helping data center operators?
I must say that both Vietnam and Thailand are a lot more ambitious than Malaysia, government-wise. I think because they see the huge demand coming from the IT side or digitization side, and they are seeing themselves as the gateway to China. That is, everyone is hoping to get in.
Vietnam has this long coastline, which makes it a natural landing point for subsea cables, right? It's quite advantageous. But how committed is the government in building the infrastructure? Or do you foresee Time.com may actually have to come in and do what it did in Malaysia, build those cables?
I think they have the roadmap. And the roadmap is probably 12 to 15 months old or so. You have seen some cables started to land in Vietnam. And that is actually a testimony that the government is doing something. But again, I think it is not just easy to land a cable. You have to find opportunity. Cables are not built every day. So you have to find the right cable to land.
So how much time do you spend in Vietnam and Thailand just trying to build this market, build the relationship?
Between 25 to 50% of my time will be at these two markets, trying to understand what is happening.
That sounds quite little, you know, considering it is a huge market. And Malaysia, you're already quite established. It almost feels like your COO can run Malaysia and you can focus on international markets.
Perhaps because now the both market in Thailand and Vietnam is at the infancy, there is not a lot of movement, you know, and we have local people who actually run that piece of business. So the interference is not absolutely necessary. I hope to be autocruise, but, you know, it's remote control now.
Do you foresee that one day maybe you have to move there?
Perhaps, you know, it depends on the direction of the group. But, it could be one of the options.
Surely you must have a sense by now, right? Because if they tell you 5-10 years' time, you have to move there and you have to think about your family.
Yeah, that would be something to think about. But so far, they have not made any indication. So
it sounds to me, Time.com, or at least AIMS, it feels like you are in a sort of a comfort zone. Your Malaysian business is okay. And I know you want to double the business. But how much of that is going to come from Vietnam and Thailand?
At some point, sometimes we are at a comfort zone because we think that, you know, we have done pretty good in Malaysia. But I think if we look deeply inside, you know, there are so many things more we can do. You know, and going into other markets like Vietnam and Thailand is a very challenging market because the language, the human behavior, the culture are all different. And those are things which keep us awake at night, you know, to make sure that, you know, we don't, in a way, mess up. That is where you need to move out of your comfort zone.
So how about Indonesia, largest internet user market?
Our expansion include Indonesia as well, but it's always... We will always hope is led by opportunity. If there's opportunity arise in Indonesia, we'll definitely consider Indonesia.
The opportunity meaning like the right partner or the right space?
More towards the right partner. We are not just confined to work with local telcos. You know, it could be a entrepreneur or, you know, there are so many telcos, right? So not necessarily the tier ones. It could be the tier four to tier five, right? So the one who is small, agile, that needs experience or perhaps funding to grow the business. And that is where the sweet spot, right?
Indosat, for example, has about the same market capitalization as Time.com. Would that make it to be quite a good partner?
Indosat is a lot more bigger company than Time as a whole. We don't really say yes or no to who. You know, it depends on the opportunity. So if really there's an opportunity for us to work with them, then by all means, we will.
And one trend I noticed, maybe it's not a trend, just one data point. NTT Communications, they're investing millions in Indonesia. Their announcement followed another Japanese company, SoftBank, who is also increasing their investments in Indonesia. The news report had suggested that NTT and their Japanese counterpart, SoftBank, had gone in together. You were saying finding the right partner may not be a telco, so maybe it could be another Malaysian company or maybe a company like Grab.
Perhaps, but then again, we have to have look into the business that we have. You know, it has to have the symbiotic relationship.
The situation in Hong Kong opened people's eyes to no markets stable forever, right? So are you seeing some interest or is that something you're going to exploit, that opportunity?
You know, Hong Kong used to be a very safe place for data center and so on. You know, this incident has opened up, you know, for them to consider options, you know, and that options benefited Malaysia. They, from now on, they cannot just rely on just one country or two. They probably have to spread a little bit in terms of their risk. In terms of Southeast Asia, you know, other than Singapore, I think Malaysia would best position that that redundancy part.
I think short term, you have your work cut out for you, but long term, really, for AIMS to just move on to that next level, double, triple their business. My sense is that it needs a strategic partner, a company that actually can help open a lot of doors in the region. That's my sense. And that might mean some of your institutional investors in Time.com should sell down their stakes to some strategic investors. How important would an international strategic investor be for AIMS?
I think we have not been approached so far, you know, and therefore we have not seen the value. You know, however, we it's very important for us to then, whoever that is going to come in, whether it's investing or partnering, will have the same culture as us. I think the way AIMS and the Time is operating is very different, you know. It's very personalized. It's very focused in terms of what we do, you know. And there's certain things that is non-negotiable, you know, the culture, the DNA, you know, the directions, you know, and all that. And often not, it's not easy for you to find a guy who's going to give you money and then say, you know, do what you want, right? Perhaps that is the reason why you have not seen a lot of international players coming to us, you know, and talking to us. But we do not discount, you know, the fact that, you know, they may be an interested party who is interested to go with us. And if we see there's an alignment in terms of the culture or the business direction, maybe, right?
So if today NTT Communications from Japan make an offer to buy up the data center business, for example, do you think you should take it?
I don't think it is my call. We are 100% owned by Time, you know, and we are governed by the board. So if the board see as a strategic sellout, then maybe they would do. But, you know, in my opinion, I don't think that is the case because we really want to grow the AIMS brand, you know, and AIMS business, and we see huge potential. In fact, it could be vice versa, right? We could have making a bid for the Malaysian entity business in this case.
Would that make sense then for you to make a bid for the international?
I think
the business?
It makes sense for both parties, you know, because this would mean that we will grow even a lot more bigger, you know, and when you are bigger, then it's easier for you to then compete.
For AIMS to preserve its culture, then it will have to be the one to acquire a company then.
Perhaps, yeah. That would be lovely, you know, but again, I think it's not easy to get a partner that is truly aligned to us.
Thank you for speaking with us, and I wish you all the best. Chew Kok Hin, CEO of AIMS Data Centre. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.